So nice to see each of you here today. And I trust that most of us have come to the place where we understand some of the most simple things in life. One thought can make an entire difference in the rest of your future. Sometimes we get to thinking we got to have everything on the catalog. But one thing in your life can make so much difference. And as we move into the lesson today, and I thank you for... Did you get the lesson? Okay. I just want to make sure, because I got the rest of it in my pocket. Our media team is just absolutely doing fabulous and working hard overtime. And I would like to say that this week we're moving forward. How many of you did notice that we do have an opening over here? It's not open, but it's opening. It matches that one over there. And someday you're going to be able to get back there and discover what these holes were put here for. No promises as to when. But one of the things that in the idea of transplanting a thought and changing the landscape of your future, Jesus offers truths that do that in the most positive way. How many of you have seen people over time de-escalate? They start off with a nice thing, and then later they're worse. Then you see people that start off pathetic and pitiful, and later they become wonderfully great. Positively great. And so all of that happened is just one thought. I'm going to change something about my life. And often that takes you to a dimension where you start seeing other things that are more appreciable. And so it is my endeavor today to somehow create a thought pattern that will help us on this Friends Sunday. I would like to make notation that we have several people here today over to my left. That's with Sister Tracy and Brother Jack. And they actually are honoring Brother Philip Taylor in their presence on this Friends Sunday. And I think we ought to give them a big hand for honoring somebody we honor. We are happy to have all of you that have come as friends and help make this Friends Sunday a special time. Before we actually get into the lesson, I would like to mention to you something that helps in the way of relationship. David is characterized as such a fabulous man, and rightfully so. Book of Psalms reveals a whole lot about him. 1 and 2 Samuel reveal a whole lot about him. The Chronicles reveal a whole lot about him. But one of the more notable things that he is noted for is killing two creatures. How many of you can name those two? The bear and the lion. And I want to tell you something real simple, but really powerful. David is out taking care of the sheep. And I'm not sure if he smelled the bear at first or noticed the significant signs that accompany a bear's approach. Whatever it was, he noted that the bear was about to destroy one of his sheep. And this is the reason that Psalms 23 is so powerful. The shepherd is so wonderfully illustrated in that. But when you go back and you study David and you understand, National Geographic put out a video some years ago, The Prey and the Predator. And in watching that video from National Geographic, I learned something that was extremely important. And that is the predator would always get after the whole crowd, the flock of sheep. And as the sheep were running, the weaker ones fell to the back, and they became easy prey for the predator. So you can imagine the kind of sheep that the bear was after wasn't one of his choice sheep. It was one of those weaker, more pathetic sheep. A sheep that had never grown good, well. A sheep that had never been that wonderful as a leader in the flock. And David could easily have said to himself, that little weak, pitiful sheep don't mean much to the man that owns this whole flock. But in looking and gaining perspective, because I can tell you that facing a bear is nothing I choose to want to do. But David decided, I don't care how weak the sheep is, and I don't care how pathetic the sheep is, and I don't care how long the sheep has been a nuisance, I will not let the man that owns this entire group of sheep, I won't let one anything take that sheep. So as he starts with a commitment of weakness, suddenly God, who looks down and presides over every strength and part of life, empowers David with a special anointing. And when David faces off by faith with a huge bear and a weak sheep, and he's decided, I'll protect that weak sheep, God says, if you're that interested in saving a life, I'll give you the strength to make it happen. And that's why you're able to teach a Sunday school class and tell them about David, who slew the bear and the lion. Because that day, David illustrated what God's after in our world today. He's willing to give his life to save the pitiful, the pathetic, and don't care how long they've been there. He's here to destroy the destroyer. Could we thank him a little bit that he has helped us this far to get through life this far without being overcome with the predator? Thank you, God, that no sickness has taken us beyond where we could go. Thank you that no one that wanted to kill us was able to do it. You have spared our life to this point. So it's not hard for us on this Sunday to worship you with our heart, with our mind, and to look to you for further help. Praise God. Now, I would like to read a few scriptures. This is Friends Sunday, and I tell you, we are more than delighted that you have come today to help make this Friends Sunday very special. This scripture is found in Proverbs 27:9, and then we'll get into the lesson. Oil and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend that cometh with hearty counsel. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness that he believed, and he was called the friend of God. Proverbs, the wise man, shares with us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Luke 11 says, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And that friend, that, pardon me, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children were with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is friend, because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as needeth. And it's no wonder then that we hear the scripture continually, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So for those of you that may not have been to services here and may not be familiar with what we really are about, we really are about helping put hope and joy and love back into the streets of our city. One suicide is far too many for an area the size of Lamar County. One person that thinks he can do things that are sinful and achieve a life of glory and victory is too many demons loose. And so it is the joy of this pastor and the thrill that belongs to growing in grace and in knowledge that we move forward and fill every home and fill every marketplace with hope and joy. I don't care if they seem worthless. Tell them how important they are to our city. Tell them how valuable they are to our community and to their home. Tell them how much Jesus, the great shepherd, is willing to do to salvage the rest of their life and make it profitable not only to them, but to those who live with them. And it is a delight to share this message with you that I am convinced that the Lord gave me for this day. And so if the light technicians would turn off the platform lights, and I'm sorry, we worked this week to try to achieve getting this other monitor or projector working. Hopefully by next week it will be back in place. Many of you recognize that meeting. Many of you remember that same setting, typically without the chairs. We had what's that called? Trick or treat night? What do you call that? Halloween. Yeah, I just hated to say it. Had almost 1,100 people come through that same area. And I want this city to know that we are a friend of this city. These buildings were not built just so we would have a nice place to come convene. It is our joy. Tonight, we're expecting to baptize somewhere close to 7 people in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. If you've been contemplating it, this would be a good night. The water's not warm right now. We'd try to do it this afternoon. A friendly church family is an asset. It is just nice sometimes to, I have a little fun out of a lot of people in life, and I'll catch their attention, nod at them, and typically they nod back. And then about 3 minutes later, I'll look at them and nod again. And they wonder if they ought to do it, if they ought to nod back, because they're afraid they might get something started. You know, we just keep nodding at each other. But it's a lot of fun to help refresh the day for people. Easter is a time of the year we celebrate friendship because God became Jesus Christ, and he's the friend that you read about in the Bible that sticketh closer than a brother. Years ago, I can remember in growing up days when maybe one of the group in a friendship would get off on a hate kick, and people that cared about that man would tell him, go put that gun up. You're not destroying somebody, you're destroying yourself. They would get on a hate kick and they would want to hurt somebody. And friends would gather around and say, look, I know how you feel. I understand what you're thinking. But I can tell you that not only will you destroy them, you take a chance on destroying the rest of your future with a memory that you can't erase. Friends are invaluable. They are wonderful. But a person that calls themselves a friend and encourages you to do something that will destroy your future is an enemy. They're not a friend if they put you and pat you on the back for some sinful thing that you have done and say, that's what I would have done. I'd have hit them. I'd have killed them. I'd have destroyed them. I'd work every day to try to get the word out how pitiful they are. Instead of being like David and say, I'm going to get that bear. Instead of being like Jesus that said, I will go to that cross. So you don't have to go, Eric. You can come to an altar and your whole life be changed in a 180. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not enough to know about Jesus. It's enough only to desire to be like Jesus. That's a huge difference. There's a lot of people that can tell you the stories about Christ, but they have limited victory in their heart and mind. But you got a friend. There's some angels that are going to be friends of yours and going to remind you, hey, don't do that. You may think you're getting back at them, but you're only going to put a memory in your life that you're going to live with. You're only doing something that's going to make people think less of you. It is my joy today to help talk about Easter, where we celebrate the friendship of the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that have everlasting life. He gave us that friendship. He laid his life on the line so you could get in line for the best life. Would you like to give him thanks today that Easter is a time we celebrate him going through the death chamber so we could live in a beautiful factor. Father, we thank you this morning as we share life with the friendship of God, the friendship of each other, and the friendship of this city, this county. Thank you for extending our life long enough to learn more about you. His body on the earth is becoming him. Not completely on the earth, but we are studying fervently to escalate the spiritual economy. It's not enough for kids to be able to go to school and not have a real vision of what marriage is like, of what holding a job is like, of what being a peer and beam of a community fraternization is like. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a lot of honesty in the courtroom. We need a lot of purity in the hospitals and the courtroom. We need a lot of purity and power in the streets of our community. And there's only one place God said, I'll do that. And I'm going to create a church that the gates of hell can't stop. And I'm going to put within the confines of that church a mental, a spiritual powerhouse that hell cannot bar them out. I'm telling you, those kids need to go to sleep with a hope in their heart, not a hell facing them that's saying, I'm about to swallow you up. I'm telling you, that's why I preach. I'm not trying to get everybody to be United Pentecostal. I'm trying to get them to be Jesus Christ on the street, on the job, in the home, everywhere we go. They deserve to see Jesus, not a fake. I used to sell fake Rolexes. Did any of y'all ever buy one when I was evangelizing? Because I was selling them about the time in 1974 I came through here evangelizing. I made $15 a piece on them. I bought them for $10, sold them for $25. They looked like the real McCoy. And then one day I got convicted of being a preacher selling fake stuff. Have you ever found out you bought something fake? And there's a lot of people buying into a bunch of fake news. News about the holy city. Let me just give you a couple of imperatives that you need to log somewhere in your mind. If you're really planning to live in heaven, if you're really planning to conquer everything, There's two things that tell us without a question. And number one is, we all can quote it pretty much that's been around any kind of Christian situation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Well, how likely is that to occur if I'm not being changed from day to day? Brother Brian, would you help me a minute? You got your cell phone? I got a whisper in your ear. All right? Because the Bible said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound. Now, that's not going to be this kind of trumpet. It's going to be the voice of God. When you use the word trumpet in the Bible, you will see that he's dealing with the voice of the Spirit. And so the Bible says this, the Spirit of the Lord shall quicken your body. The Spirit of the Lord will speak to you. He will raise up the word. He doesn't use the Spirit to do but one thing, and that is to, when you're about to do something bad or wrong, an angel of God or the Spirit itself will bring up a word. Don't hate your brother. Forgive before you're asked. Anybody ever face that when you're about to really kill somebody? You know, verbally. I know none of you carry a pistol, but I mean, not many of you. I mean, I didn't think many of you did. See, the Spirit of the Lord is a phenomenon. And that's why it says, study to show yourselves approved, so the Holy Ghost will have something to raise up as an enemy or a power source against you doing something evil that you'll have to live with the rest of your life. So if you kill five people that are bad, who wants to live with that every night? What if you forgive people, as did God for us? All right, you got that? Okay, come here. Now, as soon as you recognize this voice, I want you to say it out loud. Now, do you recognize the voice of God that quick? Because the God called Gideon from weakness and pitifulness in the Old Testament to a life that was brand new and powerful. Voice recognition is one of the greatest things in the world. But to know the voice of people in this world and not to know the voice of God is to put us in a very weak position, because they that know my voice and hear my voice are the only ones that can hearken to him. It's not about getting the Holy Ghost so you can say, I got the Holy Ghost. It's about getting the Spirit of the Lord in you, because a magnet will not pick up aluminum foil. It only picks up the things that are after its kind. It has to be a metal for a magnet to pick it up. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to come across the face of the world and in one moment say, it's time to come home. And your preacher's probably not going to be on the job with you. And your friend that you depend on to help you learn spiritual values and virtues. But those that hide the Word of the Lord in their heart is a magnetic influence. So when that Spirit comes across, you recognize the voice of God, because His Word and His Spirit identify. And that's why you need a trainer or preacher, not somebody to get you to join a local assembly, somebody to get you to learn the voice of the one who's someday going to call everybody out of the grave, who's someday going to call everybody out of this world, and all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, or we shall get a celestial body as Adam and Eve had when they were in the Garden of Eden. Am I making any sense yet? I'm trying my best to help you to understand what it really means to be a friend of God and to be a friend of a people that are called the body of Christ. You know, I always get amazed at people. We have different people in different movements. And they say, well, I'll tell you one thing. The United Pentecostal Church is this. And I say, well, let me just tell you this thing. You're looking at the United Pentecostal Church when you look at me. So whatever you got is a difference with the United Pentecostal Church. Just understand that the United Pentecostal Church is not a one-person show. So if anybody can get out of the United Pentecostal Church some beautiful things, why are you damning the whole group? Am I helping anybody? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I hate that Jones family. Stand up, Brother Jones. See if they how long they hate you. That's a long drink of water. I'm going to tell you something, just to identify everybody with, because they got a name that had one person that did pitiful, doesn't mean everybody's doing pitiful. If you can find one good Christian, you can understand without a question Christianity is real. You don't have to find a bunch of them. You just find one that replicates Christ, and that way you'll know if there is any validity or veracity associated with this thing called the kingdom of Christ. Most of us are like me. I'm still trying to do things, and first thing you know, mark it down. Your pastor hasn't reached perfection yet, but I'm looking at one who, when I trip, I get back up and say, look, thank you for help. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for strength. Thank you for loving me anyhow. And yes, I have not done best, but by the help and grace of God and the help of a bunch of you, I'm getting there. UPCL Parish is a training and educational center where we are all in school. There are no postgraduate courses to Christianity. I wish somebody would say, I'm still in school. Where are the rest of you? That makes me nervous. I don't play games. If this is one of your first times here, let me tell you something. When a candidate goes to the doctor's office, and we're all sitting out there in the lobby, and they call everybody's name but mine, I slip back up there and say, did y'all forget I was here? My appointment was 15 minutes ago. Hello? Did y'all forget I was out here? I see several people that came in after me that are already back there. And I know good and well that doctor's going to strip me down and weigh me and measure me. And yet we don't want the preacher doing that. And we got all kind of junk going on in our family. We got all kind of junk going on in our neighborhood. We got all kind of junk going on in our city. We got all kind of junk going on. Somebody give me a preacher that can help my heart get right. Somebody give me a preacher that can help get my brain straightened out. Somebody give me a voice in my world. I'm not waiting on everybody else to get my future. I'm going after my future. I want my hurt repaired. I want healing for me. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm here. And somebody said, well, I think he just preached straight to me. Well, who did you plan for him to preach to? Didn't you come to get some preaching? Because the preaching of the word develops faith. Pardon me. Hopefully, we have learned a few things in the past few years that will amplify knowledge, spirit, and life to our growing community. Now, I want to enhance a word, scripture from the Word of God that will help you. This is straight from God. My people, So he identifies each one of us as his creation. My people are gone into captivity because of a lack of knowledge. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, Mother tried to feed me green beans, and I didn't like the way they even felt in my mouth. And she said, son, you got to eat that because it'll help you. Well, if I didn't want that, she'd offer me carrots, which I did not like either. And she would tell me, the reason you got to eat these carrots, it'll help your eyesight. And you got to drink this milk to get your teeth calcined. Anybody like that raised like me? Yeah. Some of your mothers didn't care, I guess. What you feed your kid in the way of knowledge is excruciatingly important. Because God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Marriages are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Homes and cities are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He put it in a very generic sentence, but he meant it personally. I'm not willing for Paris, Texas to go under. By the help and grace of God, if he continues 50 more years, I want some great, great, great grandkids. Is one of my great grandkids asleep? He's asleep. He's awake. Cohen, would you stand? I don't want you to ever grow up being a liar, sweetheart. I don't want you to ever be abusing to a woman that is frail, and because you're masculine, great, you can whip her physically and destroy her emotionally. Cohen, are you looking at me? He doing just like some of the rest of y'all been doing. He looking around seeing if there's a way out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't come to entertain myself. I'm here to preach to you so you don't abuse any of your children. You don't destroy your future of your own home. I'm a friend of yours. You hadn't got a better friend in this city than this preacher today. I am here to strengthen you in the way that you will be able not only to achieve one more step, you're going to achieve heaven, because as you grow in grace and in knowledge, you're going to defeat the lower, lesser values of life, and you're going to become increasingly powerful in the truths of life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We believe we, our county, our country, deserve the best life. I wish you'd tell your neighbor that. We believe that you deserve the best of life. That's what we believe here. If you want to know some of the structure of our church, we have two pamphlets out there that will help you a little bit. Saved by Faith. It's about 4 pages. Because you're saved from fear, you're saved from hopelessness, you're saved from disturbances in the world, you're saved from a whole lot of things. So when you read all those things about saved, you got to understand that being saved is done by the power of the Word and the Spirit. The truth makes you free. All these people offering a bunch of tickets to heaven, you make sure you got a ticket that's valuable. And then the other one is, why we baptize a believer in the name of Jesus Christ. Both those are in the track, in the end of the hallway there. One of the ushers or hostesses can help you to them. True friendship. We will discuss friendship and its intent from the author of life. The Word of God is not an addendum to living. It is the way to live. The people that want to live in the superlative now and forever are studying the Word of God. And friendship is a huge part of God's plan. I wish you'd look to somebody and just tell them right now, I want to be your best friend. And by that I mean, I'm not going to let you do something just because you want to do it when I can see it's going to hurt and damage and destroy relationships. Most of us have a vision of life, and often that vision ignores our needs. Do you really know today what you need? Would you recognize it outside of money and friends as far as the world goes? Would you really recognize what the doctor's prescription is telling you about your back? Or do you just go take it because the doc says, I've studied this, and this will relieve your headache? How many of you have ever taken a medication that had a worse effect on you than it did a positive effect? You broke out in a rash or... The diagnosis was obviously not what you needed. I thank God for all the people that have studied to help us the best they can. But there is one that knows what you have need of today. And prayer is not this holy roll of the dice where you throw the dice up against the wall and hope it turns out with a 7 or 11 and you get the lucky number and all of a sudden a bunch of angels come down and rescue from what you're going through. That's not what the book is. It's not a roll of the dice. It's not a gamble. The word of the Lord is sure. It is powerful and it will deliver. And the word literally discerns the needs of your character. The word discerns the needs of what will make you satisfied with yourself. I can tell you, you can go get drunk, you can take drugs, you can do all of the above, but that's not going to take care of the real need. The issue, the Bible said, out of the heart come the issues of life. And only by having a clean heart, no hate toward anybody. And you're not going to get there overnight, but you got to start somewhere. And if you haven't started, this is a good time to start because you're among friends that have all, the ones that are in on this already, they are, have experienced that. I could cite different people who used to hate and now they care for the people, the very people that they hated. Because their need was met. I could cite to you people that used to hurt people and love doing it. And now they would give their life to help those same people. Because God is changing the picture of all of our lives. And I can't thank Him enough. Too often we preachers open doors to the future that at first frighten us. I'm trying to do better. I'll put that in there because I wanted to remind you that I have opened doors. When I first got the Holy Ghost, I had been told over and again that when you receive Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. I'd heard that. Service after service. So I couldn't wait to get the Holy Ghost. And when I got the Holy Ghost, and the next week I was tempted to lust after a lady, and the next week I was tempted to hate somebody, and the next week I was tempted to kill a few. Oh, no, none of y'all have run that. You just jumped across the river and you got perfect the first night. Just didn't happen for me. When I got the Holy Ghost, it was what the Bible said. It was a comforter. And when I started to lust after a woman, the comforter was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's going to damage your personal virtue. That's going to make you a man of ill repute. That's not good for you. That's what getting the Holy Spirit is all about. A paraclete. A lawyer in your spiritual life that will talk you into the law of the Spirit and not forsake the way of the Lord. It's not about joining a local church that jumps and shouts and runs the aisles. We're going to do that. They do that at ball games, so don't make fun of us if you're one of them. Who in the name of Houdini? He was the magician, you know. He could manacle himself, let them put him in a cloth bag, put him in a safe, lock every door. throw him in the river, and a little while later he swims out the side.
That always messed me up.
Because I tried some of it in a small way, and I never could figure out even how to get out of the manacles. I'm telling you, Jesus is not a magician. He is the master of wisdom. And if you really want the clean life, at least don't fake it, okay? If you want to live like a whatever, just choose it and tell everybody, I don't want Jesus. I'd rather live my own life. I'll take my chances on my own ingenuity. I'll figure out how to get out of the grave. I'll figure out how to have peace that passes understanding. I'll figure it out. Or you can serve Jesus and by His Spirit have educational built in. And the Word is brought forth by the Spirit. The example of adults walking in the fear breaker for a child is a fear breaker. I'm right at 70 years old. I like about 3 or 4 months. But if they carried me in a bassinet and I lay here kicking and drooling, would you want to follow me? After 70 years of wallowing around in a bassinet, all I did was eat, sleep, and demand a lot of attention. No. Oh, thank you. It's seeing mom and dad walk. It's hearing mom and dad talk. That pull on that kid to quit saying. The kid wants to say stuff that's meaningful. And the fear breaker, number one, the doctors will tell you, number one fear of every infant, number one problem for every infant is fear. Because fear hath torment. And you stand the kid up. I wish you were short enough I could use you, but you're way too tall. You grab your fingers out here, you put your fingers out here, and you get the kids to hold on and say, now walk, baby, walk. Well, see, I didn't think I'd really got the Holy Ghost, because I thought, sure, when I got the Holy Ghost, I could just take off running. No, you're still going to be tempted. This antenna right here, this stuff right here is an antenna. But thank God there were some older people around who knew how to pray, and I started trying to pray. And I started trying to get a hold of the Word. And first thing you know, one day I'm up and I'm walking. And then I'm driving. And then I get a wife. And that's where I really started learning. And as if that wasn't enough, I thought you're supposed to have kids. So we had a couple of them. That's when I went back to college. And obeyed the Scripture, learn of me. Just because you're living, breathing, and can smile and laugh at a few things doesn't mean you're able to train kids. And the book demands out of us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Anybody got my clicker? I guess I left it up here. So, this whole idea, the fear breaker for children, is to see moms and dads confess to each other, I should have never treated you that way. Oh. He's not a quarterback. He lacks a little on Aaron Rodgers. Kids need to hear more than the fussing, the feuding. They need to hear, we got it back together, baby. Mom forgave Dad. Dad forgave Mom. We're putting life back together. We're being healed. And we learned a valuable lesson. I'm telling you, God is willing to save you from wherever you've been. You may have been spitting on the floor, spitting in people's face and everything else. But I'm telling you, He's willing to work with you today. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you've got friends in this church that you've never met that will be glad to walk with you through the dirty, filthy days of life and help you to begin to walk. They'll hold your hand until you gain some spiritual stability. I'm telling you, don't look at the people that have failed. You'll keep failing. Look for somebody that's found some answers. Look for somebody that knows how to do it. I get amazed at people come to our church sometimes, find two or three people that are pitiful. Y'all not what you say you are. What? None of us, first of all, said we're perfect. What we said was we're being led and guided by the Holy Ghost. If you want to break the fear factor and you want to bring hope, I think that cusser got out of the way. When we know the light, Jesus, you come to know. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, all things are possible through Christ. Because he was the fear breaker. He took the taunts. He took the jeers. He took everything. And yet he came out of that grave as a light that shines on things that help or hurt. The education of a local spiritual facility is to try to help us to understand the things that will damage. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Deception will never take you to the destination of dreams that can really live and create a beautiful city. We cannot follow what the emotional system tells us and find a foundation that is sure. We must find the knowledge of God that builds a foundation you can stand on. And when the tornadoes and the storms of spiritual events happen, you've got an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, that is able to save you in the middle of a dark lion's den, a dark and hot fiery furnace where the Hebrew children were. He is an anchor of the soul. Christ treated everyone as a friend. Matthew 26:47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And let me just interlude this as the musicians are coming. That's the moment Judas kissed the door to heaven and went straight to hell. You read about him in Acts, the first chapter. Now he bought a place in the field called Aceldama, where all the potters had thrown all the refuse, the pottery that could not be repaired, the pottery that would not sustain reconversion, the pottery that was broken, was in the field Aceldama, Acts 1. I'm not preaching to you some little old fairy tale. I'm preaching to you one who got out of the grave, and every time you write a check, remember this. You're celebrating 2019 years ago when he came out. When you put 2019 on your check, that's AD. That's after his death. I'm telling you, 2019 years ago, he went to the hell that you and I want to avoid, and he found himself in the chambers of death. But he rose, and this was his promise to you, and it's found in the epistles, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men and women. And through the giftings of God, the Spirit that provides the nine fruit of the Spirit, that Word of God that provides a path that is sure, that is definite and distinctively separated from this world. That's what he did for you. That's why I tell you, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll never forget, as we go through the finale of this, My brother, one time, and he and I were in home mission work in Greenville, Texas, and they were giving away a free trip up into Arkansas for anybody that got 10 new starts on their paper route. And so both of us got it, and we got there. And my brother was a good fighter. I never was. I was always a lover. I didn't say I was a good lover. I just saw myself as being one, and I picked a fight with an old boy that just liked to kill me. And I was screaming at Roger, and he said, "You got yourself into it, get yourself out." I'm like ticked off. Finally, right my last breath of air that I was taking to go under, I felt the hands of a Savior. And my brother told me, said, "I'll never do that again. Don't you get yourself in a mess like that." I joined the army that day. The honest and fair way to estimate anything depends on its use or help. First, life was always intended to be spectacularly great. In every way and everything, we are surrounded by the superlative. How many of you figured out how much a cloud weighs? 1.2 million for the average cloud. Bigger ones are 5 million pounds. And we say, "Boy, that cloud floating through the air." No, it's held there by His word. And your future, damnation or salvation, is held in place by His word. The superlative was what He intended for you to live in victory. Yes, you're going to fight battles. Everybody in that 11th chapter of Hebrews fought all kind of battles. But you hear me, Samson finally made his way back. His illicit affair with Delilah. His illicit affairs with all the others. And he found out that's a path of destruction. He found a truth that you and I can read easily. And God was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Samson's listed in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, to show you that he ever liveth to make intercession for you to save your soul. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost sounds so foreign, and yet it is the need that we look for. That is what the author of our life offers as the superlative. In John, the 14th chapter, the 20th and 21st verse, he said, "I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you." Because the Father is going to send the promise of a Spirit that each of you, you couldn't each have me in your house. So we designed it so that the Spirit would live in your life. So getting the Holy Ghost is a beacon. It is a spirit inside you that is attracted by the author of the entire universe. It's not about getting a ticket that says one good ticket for heaven. A superb life filled with wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual authority. We are here today to talk about one of the most virtuous activities. Providing friendship does offer room for hurts, disappointments, discouragements. There's nothing like a friend. Down in Houston, Texas, that writes every day to some of us, tells us what it means to have a home church. Brother Jeff, you and Sister Vicki were there yesterday. Did it feel good as a friend to be able to be friend with a hope that you could not give him on your own, but a hope that God gave you from where you used to live? That was a nice picture. Thank you. Could we stand? The singers are singing. I want to tell you that this church, as a people, as a fraternity, want to be a friend to this city. God said, "I didn't come to show you truth to make you feel bad about where you've been." He uses the term, "I did not come to condemn you." In other words, it's not over. just because you found out you're not right where you ought to be. He said, I didn't come to condemn you, but I came so that you, through me, could approach the kingdom of the world of God and avoid the decadence that's about to happen to a world that doesn't care. Could we pray right now all over the building? And if there would be those that would like to make a change in your life and you'd like for Pastor to pray with you, please feel free to come to the front. Doesn't mean that everything's finished. It means I'm ready to make a new start. It means I'm ready to get on with the real future God birthed me for. I don't want to live in deficit. I don't want to live in the negative. All over the building, would you pray one for another just where you are? Don't mean go join with them. Just all over the building. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for our county. Let's pray for every church, every preacher. Every doctor.